from the onset, before San Diego FC ever even kicked a ball in Snapdragon Stadium, played a match, signed a player, San Diego FC was showing up for San Diego. I think it's super important. It's part of the ethos of the club that being a team for the community, it's part of the operating philosophy of what makes San Diego FC San Diego.
Welcome to Conscious Curiosity SD, where successful San Diego leaders share their stories of leading beyond profit and are using the influence of business to positively change the companies and communities we all work and live in. I'm your host, Jeff Blanton, founder and CEO of Jailbreak Leadership. At Jailbreak Leadership, we unlock the power of AI by creating your AI strategy, streamline the technical and logistical implementation, and most importantly, guide the AI adoption of your team. We want to thank our collaborative community of business organizations, the Better Business Bureau, Conscious Capitalism, Cause San Diego, and Be Local. We're all focused on impacting our community of San Diego through the work they do as business leaders. Welcome to the show. We have a new game in town, literally, San Diego FC, the professional soccer team. San Diego FC isn't just another sports expansion team, but was created with the vision of combining elite soccer with youth development, education, and community impact through the Right to Dream model. I'm very excited to have today's guest on the show to share the what, why, and how behind San Diego FC. Joel Katz, welcome to Conscious Curiosity SD.
Thanks for having me. It's an honor to be on the pod and appreciate the invitation.
Joel is the Vice President of Community Impact at San Diego FC. He is the man on the ground making it happen here in the community. This is not Joel's first rodeo. He spent 9 years with NBA's Memphis Grizzlies Foundation, making the connection between sports and community. Joel is also on the board of San Diego Parks Foundation. I just found out he's about to be a dad as well, so yes, congratulations sir. On that.
Thank you.
Well, Joe, you ready to get curious here?
Let's get into it.
Well, first off, I want to hear about you. What's the why behind the why?
That's a great question. Well, I think it starts with great parents that invested in myself and my brothers. We grew up in a village of teachers. So education was the foundation of who I was as a young person, as well as being involved in extracurricular activities. So always involved in something in addition to school. Played multiple sports growing up.
Were you a soccer guy?
Soccer guy growing up, played baseball as a youth. They had a little stint on the track team as a kicker on the football team, but soccer was the core sport for me. Played goalkeeper and just really drew a lot of my life's lessons, leadership lessons out of these soft skills that you learn through sport, learn through involvement, and obviously through my educational journey as well.
Well, this is very exciting. The fact that we now have another professional team here in town. This is year two, is that correct?
Year two.
Well, this is kind of a unique model, though. As you were saying earlier, it's not just some professional team, but you guys are trying to do something different in the community. So maybe talk a little bit about what's the big idea behind San Diego FC? What are you guys trying to do here?
Yeah, so San Diego FC, professional football club. We live in a very binational community. Football is a language a lot of folks in San Diego speak. So there's a lot of excitement, obviously, around the sport. Being here at a professional level, men's level, the women's team, the Wave, have been here, so we're excited to be a new tenant here at Snapdragon Stadium and bring football here.
A nice brand new stadium. That's a wonderful thing.
Yes, sir. And from a community perspective, San Diego cares about San Diego, and San Diegans care about the issues that are impacting San Diego positively. Obviously, we've got the beautiful weather and the geography and the food and the culture, and then there's a variety of issues that impact San Diegans, community service and access to spaces to play. We're a large military community. And so from the onset, before San Diego FC ever even kicked a ball in Snapdragon Stadium, played a match, signed a player, San Diego FC was showing up for San Diego. And I think it's super important. It's part of the ethos of the club that being a team for the community, it isn't just, we're not just a department. It's not just the community department. We're part of the brand, and it's part of the operating philosophy of what makes San Diego FC San Diego. A lot of intentionality went into building really the systems and the infrastructure to be able to show up for San Diego. Talk a little bit about how you can't claim a city. We're a new team in town, but you can't claim the city until you show up for the city. And there's been a lot of effort and sweat equity that the club and its employees have put into, you know, laying the foundation to be a team for San Diego.
So what's behind that? I'm a purposeful guy, conscious capitalist, all these kinds of good things in the world of business. And I'm always from like, you know, that's like a leadership thing. It's usually about the head person, the founder of the business, having some passion behind, besides just like, here's the product or service we deliver. We have a higher goal that we're trying to do. So who drives this kind of idea of culture and impacting the community? Is that from the ownership or where's that come from?
Top down, bottom up, from the logo and our brand and our marks, our calls to action. We're all in. So everybody in San Diego FC is committed to being an ambassador of San Diego, is committed to what it means to be a community club. You know, oftentimes you can say we're for the community and, you know, use these big words and
plaque on the wall.
Right? Yeah.
It's like having like, here's our values on the wall, but ask someone what they are. No one has no idea. Yeah,
totally. Yeah. And I think when you think about our brand identity, so our logo has 18 lines built into what's called the flow. And those 18 lines make up the 18 municipalities of San Diego. And our colors are azul y chrome, and azul is the ocean and our proximity to the ocean. It's representative of the binational community that we're a part of. Chrome is intentional because our club is built to be a reflection of the community. From the look and the feel of the brand all the way to how we show up, we started listening and learning. There's these, for our community work specifically, there's really like a core four ethos of being community-centric, football-centric, this idea of purpose beyond performance, and then this spectrum of showing up consistently, going deep, and building these transformational experiences. And again, this all started before we ever played a football match. Community-centric was listening and learning, going shoulder to shoulder with our community members, getting to know the leaders in the community, the coaches, the teachers, the educators, the philanthropists, reading reports on community impact, understanding, again, those issues that impact San Diego that influenced our strategic pillars that we have, which are infrastructure, health, and education. Broad, but also those strategic pillars have then influenced our community engagement platforms, which we can talk about in a little bit. And then the idea of football-centric is football is a sport, it's a game, but it has this beautiful like convening power. And how do we create free access to the game? And then how do we use the power of our brand and the power of our players and sort of being a professional team to convene community, to be a connector, to be a force for good? The idea of purpose beyond performance is if you look at Snapdragon, where we play our games, and then you think beyond, what does San Diego FC mean when the lights go out? How do we help our local community reimagine what a sports team means to it? That starts with not being transactional. That starts with being something that our fans and our community members are proud of beyond how we're performing on the field. And that last piece of consistent, deep, and transformational is limiting the one-offs and showing up consistently in communities, showing up with our staff, showing up with our resources, showing up with the excitement and the skill-building opportunities. And from there, we're able to create deep impact and transformational opportunities for community.
Oh, I love that. I mean, sports is so powerful in bringing people together. It's kind of funny. I live in PB. We got all these bars and they inherit various, well, during the World Cup, I think they inherited various countries or whatever. During the football season, they inherit various teams. And it's just like you hear this big roar every time something happens.
Totally.
It's like a bunch of diverse people coming together all of a sudden around a common bonding moment, right? It's just a wonderful thing.
Totally.
It has that power.
It does. And when you think, spent a lot of time in Memphis, as you said, and that's the arena in Memphis or our stadium here. It is this like amalgamation of race and religion and political affiliation and all the things that might be divisive at times in this world, but they come together around this game. And we're all wearing the same colors and we're all chanting the same chants and cheering for the goals and coming together when things don't always go so well. But sport does have that unique unifying power.
So my wife, who's a community developer, and she runs a nonprofit in PB. In fact, she's got a consulting business for somebody else that actually helps other people. And she goes, if you come into a community, the first job to do is you got to find out what's going on. Who's who? What's happening in the community? What's the community actually needs? She's going to be very proud of you guys. Got in there first and said, what's happening in this community?
Yeah.
That's a completely different mindset.
It's easy to come in. I say it's easy, but as a sports team, there's excitement. There's this like gravitational force that you're bringing where folks are interested and they want to be a part of that. And not to be like cliche, because Spider-Man just came out, but his age old Peter Parker, with great power comes great responsibility. There's a tremendous amount of responsibility in that power that a sports team has. We could very easily be transactional. We could very easily just pick up the phone and say, hey, we want to do this, or this is what matters to us. And we did it different. It was important for us to learn. It was important for us to do focus groups and ask the questions and volunteer and show up and get to know the communities. Because in San Diego, each of these municipalities are different. There's hyper-local neighborhoods that are different from Southeast San Diego to City Heights to Chula Vista to El Encanto. Like, there's all these different parts of San Diego have their own distinct identities. And it's important that we show up with intentionality in each and every community that we serve.
Actually, knowing that, I mean, that was like one of the very interesting things. I moved down here from Orange County, I don't know, 10 years ago now, and did not realize. So you're like saying we got 13 municipalities, but I think we got 50 some different communities within the city of San Diego.
Yeah.
And they're all different. So it is really kind of a challenge to say, how do we connect with each one of these?
Yeah. You know, one of the challenges for us in the community impact team is the scale of the footprint of San Diego County.
We're large. Yeah.
Showing up with intentionality across the 18 municipalities, not just putting an event and taking pictures and writing a story and calling that impact, but showing up consistently where they're getting to know us as a team. And then we're creating opportunities for volunteers to engage from the community. We're creating, you know, opportunities for local members to become coaches. It's both a community impact opportunity and an economic mobility opportunity. We're creating space for others to create space for their community as well.
So maybe talk a little bit about the dream, what do you guys call this?
The Right to Dream Academy.
The Right to Dream Academy, because that's kind of a unique thing to San Diego FC too, correct?
Sure, yeah. So our performance center is out in El Cajon on tribal land, part of our ownership group, Sequan Tribe of the Kumeyaay Nation. And the Right to Dream Academy is based there. It is a residential and educational experience for the academy. So students come in, they come in through because they're the high potential, high performing student athletes, obviously in football.
Are they typically from our community or kind of from everywhere?
Yeah, there's the majority of them are coming from our community. A lot awesome. Of them are also coming from territories that are outside of MLS specific communities. We've got students that come from Tijuana, but the idea is to recruit talent here in San Diego, create opportunities for talent to flourish, San Diego to shine. And then hopefully be able to see these homegrown talents play on the first team one of these days.
Oh, you love that.
Yeah. So it's a
homegrown farm team right here.
Homegrown farm team. But yeah, free educational opportunity, full commitment to their footballing growth and development, as well as their educational experience.
And that's huge because I kind of come from that area, played sports, whatever, and you had a season, but now I've like got all these club sports and stuff. I talk to parents. It's like, it's crazy. It becomes a year-round kind of thing if your child seems to be have some ability in a particular sport, but then it's expensive.
Yeah.
All the coaching and the traveling, it becomes outrageous how much it costs. So
yeah, it is. And I have I'm a firm believer that demographics aren't destiny. That being said, the systems that exist for young people in communities, and even specifically in marginalized communities, like zip codes do matter. Zip codes are indicators of access to opportunity. We're in this ever-growing, specialized world where stakes are higher on young people to be these athletes, not just student athletes, but these athletes as they're younger. The pay-to-play system is very real in our country, and it limits opportunities for folks that don't have the transportation, that don't have the financial resources to be able to pay the cost to play in some of these clubs. I'll say I'm a product of pay to play, and I acknowledge the privileges that has provided me. And I played club soccer growing up in San Diego and have become who I am as a leader, as a man, as a friend, and as a son, all the things through my experiences. But access is such a barrier at times. And through our work, it's mission critical that we are democratizing access to this game. So there won't ever be a youth football program or an opportunity that we do that will cost any money. It's always free access to this game and trying to remove barriers for young people to play what we call the beautiful game.
Wow, that's amazing, Joel. Even my wife has that story. My wife became a single mom. I got two boys. My wife's very athletic. She was a professional dancer back in the day and all that. And so the boys obviously are very athletic. At one point, they're playing hockey or something up in Orange County, which was very expensive and had to drive a long ways. And then the coach is like saying, oh, we got all these other things we want to do. It's like, she just said, sorry, boys, we just can't afford to do this. Who knows? One of them might have been a professional hockey player if life had given an opportunity. But yeah, so many kids can't make it.
It's tough.
I'm also a big fan of car racing.
Cool.
Yeah. So like you watch the history, some of these guys that make it up to like Formula One, it's like, yeah, it started out because mom and dad had like tons of money, because even at the kart level, you become competitive, it's like super expensive.
No doubt.
Yeah.
Yeah, no doubt.
So tell me a little bit about those pillars you were talking about. You said you had three structural pillars around this. Maybe give us a little detail of what that means.
So when you think about the strategic framework of our community work, infrastructure, space is our departure point, creating access to more safe spaces to play, health, more opportunities to move, greater mental, physical well-being, social, emotional well-being. So opportunities that are improving the health and well-being, obviously, of young people in our communities, creating more connected, resilient communities. And then education, creating more opportunities for enrichment, learning, skill building. And those three pillars build out into our community initiatives. So our first community initiative, our placemaking infrastructure initiative, is called Parks and Pitches. Parks and Pitches is creating hyper-local hubs where communities can come together and play together. So that's sharing our spaces, sharing our performance center and our match day, but it's also creating and refurbishing new spaces. So going into public parks and refurbishing basketball courts into multi-sport spaces, transforming underutilized lots or land into football pitches and opportunities to play the game there. So space is where we depart. It is where we activate. And that builds right into our next initiative, our football growth initiative, a little two-pronged action there where, like we said, we're creating free access to the game. We're running clinics in schools and PE classes, clinics on the weekends and community clinics. We have an after-school program that we're doing at community centers and around town. And then we have this coaching education arm where we're not only training and providing educational enrichment opportunities for youth soccer coaches around town, we're also staffing and deploying our own workforce of youth development coaches. And so as we build, those coaches are leading our clinics and our programs, and they're activating the spaces that we're developing. And so everything really stacks on top of each other. What comes before from like a strategic standpoint as we deploy our work is community service. And so we have a community service angle. Before we ever build a space, refurbish a space in a public park, we're out there volunteering as a team, through our fan base, through our community members. We're mobilizing a cohort of volunteers that are cleaning up public parks, that are cleaning up waterways and preventing floods, that are doing wildfire prevention, that are out there planting trees and beautifying public spaces. Our team is really intentional about building relationships with the community recreation groups and the different civic serving organizations that are showing up for San Diego. We're not doing this alone. This is about partnership and us helping be a force multiplier for a lot of the great work that already exists in the community. So we have Parks and Pitches, Infrastructure Initiative, Football Growth, where we're providing free access to the game and coaching education, elevating the youth development and the footballing standards where we go. Our Community Service Initiative, where we're mobilizing volunteers. And then our last initiative is our Military Community Outreach Initiative. And so San Diego is a military town, 6 military installations, you know, between the veterans, active duty, military members and their families. There's a very large contingency, as we know, in San Diego of military members.
And retired.
Retired folks. So we have a member of our team who's a 28-year Navy helicopter pilot. He's been doing this work in San Diego for a long time and has connected San Diego FC to all of the fantastic military communities out there. And they're a bit of a golden thread through all of our other initiatives. So we're doing football clinics for them and doing some coaching education for them, but we're also bringing them into our match day and recognizing military members for their service over self. And we've got a hero of the match and a military member of the match. And our work in supporting our active duty and veterans is mission critical to the club. It permeates through into our corporate partnerships. And later this year, we have our Battle of the Bases, where the Marines will play the Navy in a tournament to see who's the champion in the SDFC's Battle of the Bases tournament. So,
Very nice. I know you guys walked the talk here a little bit, because one of the reasons we're having this conversation is because you guys reached out to me and said, hey, we're very interested in connecting with the business community. And I said, perfect, because I'm connected with Conscious Capitalism, the BBB, which we're sitting here in their podcast room. Cause, so multiple organizations. So we're actually trying to put a meeting together here in September to sit down and say, how can we all play together?
Love that.
So with that said, maybe talk a little bit from the business perspective. How are you guys working together with the business community?
Yeah. First and foremost, from a corporate level, just engaging with the big players around town. Qualcomm is the presenting partner of our Right to Dream Academy. So they're the shirt sponsor there. Sharp Medical is the presenting partner for our performance center out in El Cajon. And just a lot of intentionality around how we're not just creating corporate partnerships, but creating platforms for these partners to really come to life through our team, through our match day, through our workout in the community. And then just connecting opportunities for group sales to different civic organizations to come to life, whether it's at one of our theme nights, one of our Native American Heritage Night, or our Filipino engagement night. So there's a lot of different ways that we're bringing corporations to our match day, different ways that we're storytelling around shared investments around the community. But yeah, our commercial team is always working hard to create that connective tissue with our local corporate businesses, our small businesses, and yeah, just shared love, shared impact for San Diego.
I love it. So I know you got a couple different programs. Maybe we dig in a little bit, kind of some specific projects you guys are working on, the 18 Days of Community, Project Backboard. Maybe talk a little bit about those.
Cool.
Because I'm assuming those are the ones that you're kind of in charge of or making happen.
Yeah, I'm a part of a great team. And
how big is your crew that's out here trying to connect with the community?
We're a team of six.
Okay.
New members starting here in a couple of days, but okay, we'll be a team of six. And with our community coaches, we've got about 15 to 20 part-time coaches that are out there coaching regularly. But the team is bringing community work to life through those initiatives we just spoke of.
So just a little add, so when you say community coach, this is somebody that comes from your organization that goes into a community to say, hey, I'm going to give you some guidance on soccer. And
that's right. That's right. Yeah. So those community coaches, they all go through extensive training. So really connecting some of these like Right to Dream methodologies. There's a style of play associated with Right to Dream and character and development and football, and really combine those and infuse those. So coaches are receiving some training on that. There's a whole youth development.
And these are local people that you've brought into the fray to.
That's right. Yeah, they're all local, oftentimes coaching in the communities that they come from. Sure. And so a lot of intentionality around recruiting coaches from the communities that we're running these programs in. But they're all trained to be, you know, pseudo coach mentors for kids, to really connect the game to life and create opportunities for these kids to be better footballers as well as better humans, create friendships and all of the above. To your question about the 18 Days of Community, again, building off of the 18 municipalities, leading up to our community night, which was in April of this year, we did 18 days of community activations. So we showed up in all of the cities around San Diego. We brought our players. So we've helped facilitate engagement with our players out in the communities, and they come and show up through all of these initiatives. We did community service projects. We ran free clinics. We did all sorts of giveaways and pop-ups at different communities centers. We did base visits on different military bases. We brought some players onto the ships. So you really saw intentional community engagement across those 18 days. It was a bit of a fundraiser as well. So we had a silent auction where you could get access to some really cool merchandise that the players signed and just some exclusive game-worn items. And then we donated all of that. So we selected five beneficiaries, one for each of the initiatives that we do. Each of them ended up getting an $18,000 donation as part of that experience. So we brought them to match day. We did a little community impact panels. A lot of our role too, right, is convening all of those that are doing good in San Diego and helping, you know, create space for others to share the great work that they're doing and creating platforms and stages for others to show the example. And so 18 Days of Community was a lot of really good work. 360, it wasn't just a community team. Our staff was out there volunteering. Our coaches were out there. So everybody had a shared investment in that.
I love that. So share a story. You're out here doing some great work in the community. Share one or even two stories that you go, wow, that's what gets me up in the morning to go to work.
That's a good question. You know, I want to share a story first and foremost just about how we connect local artists and create the... So every parks and pitches space that we do has an artist connected to it. And that artist comes from the community with which that space exists. This first story would be around Colina del Sol Park up in City Heights. That was the first parks and pitches space that we did. We have an initiative at San Diego FC called Playmakers, where we're working with local artists and creating opportunities for them to create merch capsules, and we do merch of the match, but we also create opportunities to support local artists, retain artists in San Diego, but give them unique ways to express themselves. And one of those unique ways is giving them an opportunity to create a design that will ultimately be painted on these public basketball courts, now multi-sport spaces. This is kind of a serendipitous, pretty cool chain of events. We finished this court last October at Colina del Sol. It opened up, and as we're going for this ribbon cutting, we call them dedication events, so dedicating the space to the community. This was in October. We get there, and of course, on that day, it just poured rain, and we couldn't have predicted it, and we ended up canceling the event last minute. It was definitely the right decision. I came back into the office looking like a wet dog, and we ended up then rescheduling that for February of this year. It was at that time that our owner, Mr. Mansoor, was in town. And Mr. Mansoor was able to be a part of the rescheduled dedication event. It was a really cool event because he was able to come and talk about his philosophy about right to dream, but also about how important investing in space is and how important it is for San Diego to be an extension of the community. We talked about community as this operating philosophy, not just this box to check.
And now you're hearing it from the man.
Now you're hearing it from the man. And it was just a special day. I love process. Certainly we love the earned outcomes of putting hard work in and seeing young people playing on the space, for example, here that you've helped create. But for me, this club is invested top down, bottom up, as you've said. And to watch Mr. Mansoor and our CEO and the head of Parks and Recreation and the CMO of Qualcomm, who sponsored that space, and to see all of the stakeholders come together, this public-private partnership, it gives me a little bit of chills because, dare I say, it's unique in sport, but it's easy to be transactional in sports, but I'm proud to work for this club. This club walks the walk more than it talks the talk, to be fair. And to see Mr. Mansoor in that moment and to see all the community leaders sitting there together, and then to hear the young people talk about the experiences that this court has played on their community. It's why you get out of bed. It's why we do what we do. That was super powerful for me. But I think we've just got countless stories of coaches that have come through our ranks that are telling us the impact that they're creating on kids, and young people that are talking about the friendships that they're making in our programs, and teachers that are just over the moon because they're seeing players show up at their community that wouldn't have otherwise shown up. So there's a lot of pride that I take in the work that we do, but you know, it's backed by the pride that this team takes in showing up for its community.
Yeah, wow. It's unbelievable, man. It's got to be like a thrill of working in an organization like that.
It is, man. You got to put your seatbelt on because you...
I mean, I can't keep up with all this stuff. You're just like going, their list is long. You know, so we're bringing artists into the program. We have these guys in the program. I mean, you're truly engaging the entire community in the activity. I had no idea, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
You guys got to advertise more. Somehow you got to get this word out. Hopefully this podcast can help this a little bit.
Yes, sir. Appreciate that.
This is wonderful.
Thank you so much.
What's your biggest surprise moving here to San Diego?
The biggest surprise is that I don't have a favorite Mexican food restaurant or beach yet because it's all so good. No. Oh, I get that's a cop-out answer. My biggest surprise, how impactful this team has been, how young we are in our journey as a team. Our head coach, Mikey Vadas, has talked about how we're all part of building something bigger than ourselves. You know, 50 years from now, none of us are going to be working here, but we're creating the groundswell for the future. And early on, to come here before we ever played a game and not see anyone wearing our merchandise or our brand out there, like, you can't go anywhere without seeing a San Diego FC hat right now. I encourage folks to come and watch a San Diego FC game and experience the community, because as much as it is a surprise how quickly our club has taken shape and it really established itself in this community, I guess I'm surprised at how powerful this game can be to truly be a force for good. The Padres are here. The Wave are here. There's been teams here for a long time. And
we've had some come and go, too. We've got the Chargers bailed out on us. And
yeah, so there's a lot of responsibility for us to come in and walk the walk. And, you know, I think San Diego's been super receptive to what we're doing. And again, like, great power comes great responsibility. The work's cut out for us to stick to it and continue to show up.
You're not a ham and turkey guy.
Not a ham and turkey guy.
Tell people what that is.
That's awesome. I love that you brought that up.
That's not who you guys want to be.
No, we're not the ham and turkey folks. So yeah, I spent a lot of time in Memphis, all around Memphis, doing community development work about 10 years out there, and became the man that I am today in a lot of ways because of the young people that I met out there and their resiliency and perseverance and just the character of kids. And kids are very wise. We can learn a lot from young people, obviously. There was one day around Thanksgiving where I went into North Memphis and we were doing a basketball clinic. And the next day was a turkey giveaway at this place. And one of the young people came up to me and asked if I was a turkey guy. And I didn't know what that meant. And I was like, what does that mean? And he goes, well, you're not one of those guys that like drives by our neighborhood and immediately rolls up his window and locks his door. And I was like, no. And he said, well, ham and turkey people are people that come into our community during Thanksgiving and Christmas. They drop off gifts. They drop off turkeys. They help put food in our bellies, but then we never see them again. And when we talk about for San Diego FC and how, you know, we've built this consistent, deep, transformational part of our operating philosophy in our department, it is consistency is mission critical. It is important that we show up consistently for these communities. We can't just pop in and pop out. That, first of all, like that creates, we're setting precedent that ultimately you're not backing, but it's a very transactional experience and communities see that. So for us, it's about continuing to show up. It's about showing up with intention, not just giving money and sponsoring an event, giving your time, sharing your talent. It creates transformational experiences when you show up, but you consistently show up.
I mean, the ham and turkey guys often are there with the cameras. This is more about a little marketing opportunity for them. Like, oh, look at this great work we're doing over here. But to your point, it's just like a one-off, come in, take our picture, hand out some turkeys and the hams, and then boom, you're gone, right?
Yeah.
My wife would be saying sometimes in her work when she was doing like work with the kind of children and someone to tougher neighborhoods, it'd be like, people want to come in and do these photos. It's like pimping out the kids. You know, it's like, we want these pictures of these kids. Like, it's like, you're not doing that.
Yeah. These kids are humans. These kids have heartbeats. These kids are smart. These kids deserve to see you more than once. It's easy to print out some t-shirts and say, we serve our community and bring out the cameras and put out a media advisory and take some pictures, and you could spin anything into an impactful story, but the community see you. And that's not how we do it. That's not how we'll do it in any of the work that I aspire to do. We have to leave things better than we found them. This isn't a savior thing. This isn't about like, we're coming in with Excalibur sword and we're here to save the world. That's not what this is about. It's about creating space. It's about creating opportunities for enrichment and creating opportunities to move. It's about mobilizing a workforce. And that happens through intentionality, and that happens through showing up time and again.
I love that. So we're going to do a little visionary thing here, Joel.
Cool.
So one of the things I was really struck by when I moved to San Diego some years ago is the possibilities of this community. I think that's part of why a lot of this is working, is that we are kind of a unique community, I think, kind of from a size perspective. We're big, but at the same time, we're not that big. You're only one person away from knowing everybody around here. We're kind of locked into a little island between the ocean and the border and the marine bases and the desert. So we kind of got our own kind of cool place here to do something. We talk about purposeful business. We think this is an opportunity. If we could really kind of lead this parade here, we could be the model for other places. We looked out 5 years from now and you guys are having great success. What would that look like for us here? That's a tough question.
Have a quick think. 5 years from now, you're seeing a young person from San Diego that's playing on the first team that had the opportunity to get developed through the Right to Dream San Diego Academy that's now scoring goals, blocking goals, completing passes in the middle of the park. I'd say first and foremost that we're creating opportunities for local talent to shine at the biggest stage.
That kind of gave me a chill right there. That's cool.
I'd say that we have young people that we met that were in middle school. This talk about like a 5 years. So we've got an eighth grader that was in one of our after school programs that becomes a junior community coach when he's in high school, that graduates and becomes a community coach and is now reinvesting his time in the community that he came through. I'd say that we're growing our local workforce and we've got thousands of daily active volunteer, daily, weekly active, monthly active volunteers that are reinvesting in their communities. I think you see this stack of our initiatives continue to grow. I think you see more San Diego FC. We have our community colors are a beautiful gradient of blues and orange and reds and yellows, and you see those colors popping in public parks across the county. You see us having a pitch in all 18 communities. We're creating safe spaces and opportunities for communities to move across all of San Diego. So, visionary perspective, we continue to grow in breadth, but we never sacrifice breadth for depth. And there's continued reinvestment in the communities that we start with.
How about winning a championship?
Yeah.
Throw that in there. Nothing like winning to bring people to the program.
Yeah. You know, I'm not going to be much of a help on that. Maybe as a fan, I'll cheer as loud as I can, but I have so much faith in what we're building and our style of play and our team. And yeah, why not?
Yeah, why not? One final question for you. I always like to wrap up things with people who only remember one big thing out of this conversation. What's the one thing you want them to remember?
That San Diego FC cares about San Diego. San Diego is such a special place. And to what you're saying around this like big, small town idea and your 2 degrees of separation from anyone, people talk. first impressions matter. I think we've done a pretty good job at setting the stage for being a team that looks like San Diego, operates like San Diego, cares for San Diego. So the big thing is that San Diego FC is here to serve and create more opportunities for connection and, yeah, winning on the pitch, winning off the pitch.
Man, love it. Very aspirational, very exciting.
Yes, sir.
I am. I know. This is like the best thing I think I've ever heard from anybody on your side of the table as far as actually really putting out a wonderful, big, huge idea about who we could be.
Thank you.
And actually in there making it happen. So, Joel, that's unbelievable. You and the organization are doing amazing work here. We are lucky to have you guys in town.
Thank you, sir.
Well, that's our show for today. And if you enjoyed it, please subscribe, comment, and most importantly, share the podcast with a friend. Again, special thanks to our collaborative community of San Diego business organizations, the Better Business Bureau, Conscious Capitalism, Be Local, and Cause San Diego. We're all using the influence of business to positively impact our very own community of San Diego. I'm Jeff Blanton from Jailbreak Leadership saying, until next time, go do what you do. Go do what you do best, but we're all counting on you.